Welcome to Through the Bible with Les Feldick, a 30-minute walk through the scriptures teaching in-depth Bible truths that change people's lives. Now, here's your host, Les Feldick.
Okay, good to have everybody back. Program number 4, and then we'll be out of here on time today. Okay, we're still sending out these question and answer books. It's 88 questions, if I remember right, and answered from our previous program materials, and they're a good, like people are using, they're a good tract, and answers a lot of basic questions. Okay, Herb, so if you're interested, do I give the office a call, and we send them out with an invoice, and they're $11, so I think they're worth it. Okay, we're winding up pretty much the book of Daniel now in this program. We'll go back to Daniel chapter 12. And like I said, in the first half hour this afternoon, in the opening verses, it spoke of resurrection. And there's probably more resurrection taught in Daniel chapter 12 than all the rest of the Old Testament, because you don't have a lot of resurrection teaching in the Old Testament. The first one I ever found way, way back when I was just all of a sudden brought to my senses that I hadn't been taught everything there was to know, and I had to search for some of these things, and I'm going to open with that one. Go all the way back with me to the little book of Job. Well, I guess it's not a little book, but back to Job chapter 19. And this is the first concept that I pulled out of the Old Testament concerning resurrection. And then, of course, Paul in 1 Corinthians 15 just opens the whole Pandora's box, if I can use that expression, of resurrection details, and kind of fills everything in. But back here in Job chapter 19, drop down to verse 25. And far as we know, Job is probably the oldest written book of our whole Bible. Now look what the man writes. For I know, no ifs, ands, buts, for I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. Now there's your first inkling then of a coming earthly kingdom with God the Son as the King. All right, and he shall stand the latter day upon the earth. And now here comes the resurrection part. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, in other words, physical death, yet in my flesh, in resurrected flesh, I shall see God. Now that's as plain as you can get it so far as Old Testament language is concerned. All right, now then come up to Daniel. And even though we're going to start, Jerry got it on the board, verse 8, let's just drop back a minute to verse 2 and 3 again. We looked at it in the first half hour, but I told you then I'm going to look at it later in the afternoon. Chapter 12, reviewing verse 2 and 3, and many of them who sleep in the dust of the earth, in other words, have died physically, shall awake, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt. They that are wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. All right, I think I'm inclined to take you back again, like we did in the first half hour this afternoon, just quickly to John's Gospel, chapter 5, so that you understand that Jesus is saying almost the same thing that Daniel is. Naturally, it's the scripture, it's inspired of the Holy Spirit. All right, John chapter 5 again, verse 28 and 29. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, sometime out there in the future. We're closer now by 2,000 years than when Jesus spoke it, in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they who have done good, or people of faith, as we mentioned before. They will come to the resurrection of life, and they have done evil unto the resurrection of condemnation. Now, we don't know until we get to the book of Revelation that those two events are separated by over 1,000 years. And that is that the resurrection of the just take place before the kingdom, and the resurrection of the lost at the end of the kingdom. But we'll look at that a little bit later in this half hour. Now come back with me to Daniel chapter 12 again. Now verse 8. Again, he repeats what he said earlier in the book. I heard, but I understood not. Now just stop and think a minute. All these visions and prophecies that Daniel had seen throughout his lifetime, from the time he was a lad of 14 until now he's up in his 90s, and he had seen some of them fulfilled, but a lot of this was still way out in the future, and he couldn't even begin to comprehend it, and he says so, see? And I said, oh, my Lord, what shall be the end of these things, all these prophetic events? What are they leading up to? Well, you and I know eternity. Everything is moving to eternity. Now, human history establishes the fact that since Adam until now has been in the area of 6,000 years. We've got 1,000 years left for the earthly kingdom. But then what? Eternity. Eternity. And you see, not a one of us can comprehend the length of eternity. You know, once in a while, a blip will flip through my mind. Are we going to get bored? You know, no. I'll tell you ahead of time. We'll never get bored. But on the other hand, to think in terms of eternity means it's never going to end. Now, for us in glory, that is something easy to take. But for those who have gone the other way, it's frightening to contemplate that they will be there forever and ever and ever. You know, zero to the umpteenth power. It's unbelievable. All right, now then back to our text. Verse 9, and the Lord said, go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed until the time of the end. Well, you see, we're in that period of time, and so now the scriptures have been opened up in such a way that we can now fit it all together. But like I said in an earlier program, until about 1900, nobody could. And then in the late 1800s, all of a sudden, just a few sprinkling of Bible scholars were getting the idea that the Jew would evidently go back to his homeland. Well, there was hardly any indication of it when they first started thinking about it. But then, of course, in the late 1800s, in the 1890s, why then a couple of the Jewish leaders, Theodor Herzl and Chaim Weizmann, I think, were a couple of the Jewish leaders that started the move to get the powers that be, primarily Great Britain, because you want to remember at that time the sun never set on the British Empire. Their empire circumvented the globe. So Great Britain were the people in charge of the Middle East. And so they were the appropriate ones to approach about establishing a homeland for these Jews who are now scattered all around the planet. Well, from that, of course, at 1900, it finally came to the place where the Jews started going back until in 1948, of course, they were declared a sovereign state. All these things now, as I said in the first program this afternoon, have just been rolling down the hill, gathering snow or gathering moss, however you want to picture it, and bringing us up to the present time right now today, where we have an understanding of these things like they never had before. And a lot of it is due to technology. For example, when Revelation spoke, now let's just go back and look at it. This is a Bible study, and what we don't finish today, we'll pick up a month from now in our next taping. But you come back to Revelation, and I think I want chapter 10. Chapter 11, I'm sorry, Revelation chapter 11, the two witnesses. And I won't go through all the verses right now, I haven't got time, but here the two witnesses appear on the streets of Jerusalem, I think at the very same moment that the Antichrist and Israel and the Arab world are meeting someplace else. And they are going to start proclaiming again the gospel of the kingdom. Like Jesus said in Matthew 24, that this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world, and then shall the end come. The gospel of grace ends with the rapture of the church. It began with the church, and it's going to end with the church. But the gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the tribulation. All right, these two witnesses, I think, will open the door someplace in Jerusalem. All right, but now the part I want you to see is that verse 7. And they're going to continue their preaching for 3.5 years, from the opening day until the midpoint. And then verse 7, when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit, that is the Antichrist, under the power of Satan, shall make war against them, shall overcome them, and kill them. And their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. So it's Jerusalem. And they, now watch this, verse 9. And they of the kindreds and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3.5 days, shall not permit their dead bodies to be put in graves. All right. Now, do you see what that verse says? The population of the world from one end to the other is going to witness these two bodies laying on the streets of Jerusalem. Now, Lorraine, you and I both remember when we were kids, if somebody preached that on the way home, I can still hear Mom and Dad question, how in the world can that ever be? How can people over here in America see two dead bodies on the streets of Jerusalem? Well, that was a dilemma, but the book said it. And now, of course, it's every day. These cell phones drive me up the wall on one hand, and they... just unbelievable. But these kids with these cell phones will see those two bodies on the streets of Jerusalem quicker than you can blink an eye. But see, without the technology, it could have never been possible. And so here again, I can go back to the increase of knowledge that starting there at the beginning of the last half, the 1800s, and you come up to 1900, and here comes technology, leading to all the things that we take for granted today. But would the world function without it? There is no way that this world could function with the technology available in 1900. But everything progresses relatively. Everything is relative, see? As you have the increase of automobiles and the need for fuel, oil production increases. As population increases, food production increases. And God has got it all under control so that it'll last until the end. Don't worry about the environment. Now take care of it naturally. I don't want to see trash on the road any more than anybody else. But don't worry about old planet Earth. You don't have to be a tree hugger to keep it going. God's got it under control. And he's going to make sure everything functions until he's through with it. See? All right, so here we have these two witnesses now prophesied as being seen by every tongue and tribe and nation, but it could not happen without the technology of satellite television and now the cell phone. But here it's no problem. All right, so now then, back to Daniel chapter 12 a minute again. Because we want to talk about the resurrections, hopefully, before the half hour is gone. All right, so now then, verse 10. Many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly. Well, we certainly see that. We're still seeing people saved today, but oh, the ungodliness is on a downhill slide. See, it's just getting worse by the day. All right, none of the wicked shall understand. They don't understand what things are taking place. They don't see that all of this stuff pertaining to globalism and a financial meltdown, it's all in preparation for the coming of the Antichrist. It's getting everything ready for him, see? But that's not what we want to look at now. We'll look at that maybe in another taping. Now, verse 11. Here we come. From the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away. Now, you got to stop and think a minute again. When did temple worship begin? At the signing of that treaty at the opening of the tribulation. That will be part of the treaty, that Israel can reestablish temple worship. And they're going to. I think that temple is all set, prefabbed in a warehouse in Jerusalem. And when that treaty, the ink is dry, those Jews will start building that temple. And I think it'll be, like I said before, up there on the Temple Mount. And with a matter of 48 hours, they're ready to go. Now, we know that the Jews have got everything ready for temple worship. They've got all the garments for the priesthood hanging on mannequins. Iris and I have seen them. They got all the shovels for the fire of the sacrifice and all that. Everything is ready. All they got to do is build that temple, and it'll go up overnight. All right, so now then we go back to the time when that temple will be shut down by the Antichrist, which is 3.5 years from the end, or 1260 days from the end. Except, here we have the exception. From the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination that maketh desolate is set up, that is the midpoint of the tribulation, there shall be 1290 days. 30 days beyond the 60, but it doesn't stop there. Blessed is he that waiteth and cometh to the 1,305 and 30 days. So now we've got an extra 75 days after the end of the tribulation. Now we know the tribulation is going to end right on schedule, or no one would survive. Now then, this great event, which is the resurrection of all of the saints that were not in the body of Christ. And I feel they will all come out of the graves at this point in time because of verse 13. Go thy way, God tells Daniel, until the end be. Well, not the end of the tribulation. That's another event. But to the end of these 75 days into the 1,000 years. Go thy way till the end be, for thou shalt rest, that is, in death, and stand in thy lot at the end of those 75 days. All right, now I think in order to clarify that, I'm going to have to take us back to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the great resurrection chapter of all of Scripture. But it is Paul now describing the resurrection of the body of Christ. That's the only group of people that Paul is interested in, the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians 15, but let's drop in at verse 20. But now. Now that's one of Paul's favorite expressions, isn't it? Because of the great change in modus operandi. Everything has been Jewish. Everything has been set according to law. But when the work of the cross was completed and this apostle was designated to go to the Gentile, it's a whole new ballgame. And so that's why he is Holy Spirit inspired to use these two words, but now. Totally different from and then, it's but now. Christ is risen from the dead, and he has become the first fruits of them that slept, died physically. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. Now, I suppose I wish I had an hour more, and I'm going to run out of time. In Romans chapter 5, you see, Paul lays it out so clearly that Adam was the first man, and Christ was the second man, or the second Adam. The first man plunged the human race into the sin problem. The second man made everything available to bring him out of it. And so you have these two entities. Adam, who sent the human race under the curse, and Christ, the second Adam, who by his work of the cross made possible the salvation for everyone if they'll only believe it. All right, now then, for those who have become believers of Paul's gospel, and he calls it this over and over. I haven't got time to look at him. But my gospel, that gospel, which I preach among the Gentiles. All right, and that gospel, of course, is, now you're in for chapter 15 anyway. You might as well back up so that we remind our audience what Paul's gospel is. Just go back to the first four verses of this chapter 15. Most of you should know it by memory. We've read it often enough. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel. Yes, there's only one. Which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, by which you are saved. My, that's as plain as language can make it. This is the gospel that saves lost mankind. If you keep in memory what I preached unto you, lest you believe in vain. Now here is the heart of the gospel. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures. He was buried, and he arose again the third day, according to the scriptures. That's Paul's gospel. Now, to show you then that only the body of Christ will be resurrected at what we call the rapture, now turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and we'll see the prerequisites for being in the rapture. Now, you see, the rapture is the resurrection of the body of Christ saints who have died, who will be called forth and reunited with their departed soul and spirit, so that they are now a complete body, soul, and spirit, ready for eternity. And then in the next instant, we who are alive and remain will be translated. We will just suddenly be changed. All right, but for everyone that will be in this resurrection of the body of Christ, this is the prerequisite. Chapter 4, verse 14. For if we believe, what's the big word in there? If. If. See? If we believe. And I always have to emphasize, I did again the other day in Denver. Somebody came up and I said, this is only for someone who truly believes. Most of Christendom doesn't. And I think I'm safe in saying that. They just don't get it. But here it is, if we believe, plus nothing, that Jesus died and rose again. That's exactly what he said in 1 Corinthians 15, isn't it? That's Paul's gospel. All right, for those who have gained salvation through this message, they are members of the body of Christ. But listen, who was the first emissary or apostle who revealed this message? Paul. It was never revealed to the apostles. Peter, James, and John never preached death, burial, and resurrection for salvation. Now let me show you an example. I'm going to run out of time. I know I'm sorry about that. Come back with me to Acts chapter 4, the healing of the lame man. And see, this makes it so evident. I'm sorry, it's chapter 3. Those of you that are writing notes, I hate to have to make you scratch it out. But it's Acts chapter 3. They healed the lame man. And all the Jews were all upset. Now, you got to remember, this is only 50 days between the resurrection and Pentecost. It might be another week or so later. But we're talking in terms of within a period of 60 days after maybe Jesus performed his last miracle. So it's not all that long ago. And they can't get it. How did you perform a miracle like this? Like healing the lame man that had been laying there at the temple gate for 40 years. Oh, and it just caused a big rhubarb in Israel. All right, now then Peter comes back and he tells these Jews, we didn't do it. It was the power of God exercised because of the man's faith. But faith in what? not the death, burial, and resurrection. Now pick it up in verse 16. See, and this is where I get uptight. I say people can't read. They either read with their eyes closed or they got them open from so far they see stuff that doesn't belong in there. And one of my rules of thumb is if you're going to study the scriptures, it's just as important to see what is not in the scripture as what is. All right, but now look what is not in here. Verse 16, Peter says it was his name through faith in his name that made this man whole. Does he say anything about the cross? Not a word. Anything about the shed blood? Not a word. So what did he believe? Exactly what Peter's profession of faith was, clear back there in Matthew 16. Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man? And what was Peter's answer? Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Period. Not a word about the cross. Not a word about resurrection. It was believing who he was. And what gospel was that? The kingdom gospel. That's what Jesus and the 12 preached, that Jesus was the King, the Messiah, the Redeemer, see? And it was faith in that fact that saved the Jews of Peter's day. But you see, that leaves them back with the Old Testament. But for us in the body of Christ, it's through faith not only in who Christ was, but what he accomplished, see? And that's what makes the difference. All right, now then, I guess I'm going to run out of time. Here we have Paul in 1 Corinthians 15 again. Oh, wow, I'm down to 1 minute. I'll never make it. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and we'll just have to pick it up in the next taping, I guess. The key word is verse 23. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But, now here's the kicker. Here's the frosting on the cake. Every man in his own order. Christ, the first fruit and resurrection, and I think those that came out of the graves. And then they who are Christ at his coming, the rapture of the church, that takes care of all the resurrection of the non-Jewish believer.
Thank you for watching Through the Bible with Les Feldick. Through the Bible is a partner-supported ministry. If this program has been a help to your study of the scriptures and you'd like to see others enjoy the teaching, your support would be greatly appreciated. Write to us at Les Feldick Ministries, 30706 West Lona Valley Road, Kenta, Oklahoma, 74552. Or call 1-800-369-7856. Be sure to tune in next time to Through the Bible with Les Feldick.